Steve and Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, Entertaining Land Investment Talk. I'm Steve and Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
And Arizona.
Anyway.
Today, Jill and I talk about post-transaction communication, and we're also trying out new software. So we'll see how this goes.
Exactly.
Sometimes it's appropriate, I think, when the deal's all done, to talk to a seller. And when a buyer buys property, it's appropriate post-transaction to talk to them too. Jill's going to tell us all about it. Although my personal opinion is that it's not that common, but we're going to find out from the expert. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free. And if you're a Land Academy member, please join us on Discord, which is getting more popular by the minute. I'm happy to report.
I saw you in there just a little while ago. Lucas wrote, after 5 months, 4,000 letters, and five completed assignment deals, I finally got a deal that I was able to self-fund, and now it's under contract to sell. It feels
great. It's a beautiful way to say it's working.
Exactly. My offer was for a property that was already listed. The seller and I couldn't agree on a price. However, he had a tiny parcel in a nearby county that he was also wanting to get rid of. It was so tiny that I wasn't sure if anything could be done with it, but it was right downtown in a nice community directly off Main Street. City zoning allows for trailers and modular homes, so I went for it. We agreed on a price, closed quickly. I put up a for sale sign, and it was under contract to sell within a week. Oh, never even had time to get my posting online. Bought for $3,800 and sold for $9,000. Now I have enough cash to go back and try some deals that I missed from my first mailer again. I owe a debt of gratitude to this community. Your examples keep us going. Thank you. How cool is that?
It's kind of a mic drop posting.
Exactly. So it wasn't really a question. It was really like, hey, here's my story. I love it. I'm so glad. How great is that?
Congratulations, Lucas. That's fantastic. Seriously. You know, I'm very conscious now, Jill, of the words that I use, because yesterday we had our Thursday webinar.
Yeah.
And some of the members reported, our regular members reported to us that they have a side drinking game going on because it's kind of at night based on the words that Jill and I say probably too often. So I just said fantastic. And I know that's one of the drinking words.
Yep. Okay. Everyone. Now you got us started. Now we're going to come up with our own drinking game.
Yeah.
You are correct.
This airs at 3 p.m., so I hope there's not that much drinking. But if you're listening to this at like 9 o'clock, as Jill says, drink yourself silly.
Yep. Exactly.
Today's topic, post-transaction communication. This is the meat of the show. So like I said in the intro, Jill, like when do you think is it appropriate? Or do you have communication right now with anybody that like consistently like you do as a like with a friend that you've done a deal with either on the buyer or the sell side?
Yes.
You really do?
Only one, and it's a personal transaction. That's the only reason why.
Like a primary residence?
Yes.
You're not going to tell us?
And she happens to be the lender, so right now she's my best friend.
Oh. It's not post-transaction. Or post,
no. But, post-transaction, I'm trying to think here. I'm going to go with no if I can't think of anybody. I've had many that want to be my friend that have said, you know, come on over, even transactions, it's things that we've bought, not even that we've sold, that, cause I'm communicating with them usually on the buy side. I'm talking to the sellers and getting the deal done. And they, have wanted to have long-term friendships with me and invite, you know, you and me over for dinner and things like that. It's very sweet. But most of the time, no.
That's exactly what I thought you were going to say. Yeah. You know, I think that one of the there's only a couple of benefits that a real estate agent or a broker can provide in general, I think, for a land or a house deal. I'm not talking about commercial because I think that's a whole different thing. And one of them is taking honorary sellers and honorary buyers and separating them and not allowing them to communicate until it's over. So if they communicate at all when it's over.
Did you say honorary? There is some value to that. Like angry honorary?
Just, you know how sellers can be or buyers can be, or you know how we can be. We can, it's like, yeah, we especially can be at this point in our career where it's like, I go into every deal saying, you know what, just give me a reason not to do this. Even though it's really profitable, it's like, just say the word. I'm my finger's on the trigger.
I personally, some of the reasons I have people staff in place is because don't let me talk to that guy because I will get mad and we're not going to get what we want out of it because he's being a stinker.
We just terminated a deal. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago where we would have netted $500,000 on those properties.
I don't care.
And you know what? It's not worth it.
Nope.
It's not worth getting yelled at and cursed at and stuff.
Well, it's like on our weekly member calls when we're talking to everybody has a would you do this deal segment. And they bring in some deals that, you know, you have to take a step back. And we're usually saying your time is worth more than that. Usually it's money related. But it also can be just stress and hassle related that I would argue that, you know, you don't need to do that deal that bad. If that guy's going to be a jerk and drag you through this transaction and call all the shots and make you jump or whatever it is. And it's just like, you know, that's not how you roll, which you shouldn't be. I would move on to the next person.
So here's my next question. How much communication is too much communication during the deal, or is there such a thing?
There is such a thing. As a matter of fact, I have one right now. Totally serious. She called me as we're recording, it's Friday. We spoke Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday and Thursday are email days. And now it's Friday. I haven't heard from her, thank goodness, because I kind of told her back off. So, and it's, I'm the seller of this property. She's all excited. She's telling me her story. She's going through divorce and her brother's going to buy this property with her. And he wants to get all involved. She came on hot, asked for a purchase agreement. I did it quickly Monday morning. Send it to her and there we sat. And then now here come the due diligence questions. And I'm like, everyone.
Good for you.
Right? I just said here, instead of saying Google it, which I could, which I said, I'm going to be really nice. I said, here's the phone number. Here's the people. Call the county and spend weeks and weeks and weeks if you want to talking with them about it. And I had to took two times and then she got it. I finally said, we're not doing anything until you're ready. We're not doing anything until you're ready. You need to call them. You can go drive out there whenever you want. You can roll around on it if you want. I don't care. So talk to the county, blow up their email, blow up their phone. Let me know when you're all done. And I'm actually glad how I ended it was, I said, I'll know you're ready when you sign and return the purchase agreement. That's it. And she got it the second time she got it. Oh,
you think she'll sign it?
I'm not sure. You know, I'm on the fence. She could either be an amazing pain in the ass tire kicker, which there are a lot out there, or she could be legit. I'm just going to sit back and wait. But no matter what, I mean, it really wasn't a whole lot of time. It was like a phone call here, a phone call here, there, a couple emails, and that's it. And then I made my point that there's nothing to talk about. Like I said, everything I told you is in the posting, and here's a phone number to call for everything else. If you're in, great. If you're not, don't bother. So
interesting. You know, we've all both been doing this for so long. Right. You can tell right away. Like if somebody, there's just so many reasons people want to call you during a transaction.
Right.
And I think like more than half of them are just for reassurance, either on the buy or the sell side.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, so, you know, you, I'm not, that, that doesn't work well with me.
So I entertain like one or two phone calls I'm totally set up prepared for that. Like you just said, making sure we're here, we're going to, you know, follow through as everything that's stated, because they just found it online. I mean, that's the bottom line too. This one's on the MLS. So they found the MLS, like they want to call and make sure, you know, is it still available? Are you who you say you are? How would this transaction go down? Like that's not on the MLS. So I totally entertain that, but we don't need really much more than that. Once we have that conversation, I clearly state, this is everything I've got. I clearly state, I'm not going to meet you there. Knock yourself out. I have a lot of interest. I'm not going to, when you're ready, then we'll talk. And then that's it. But so, yeah, I don't, if there's too many phone calls, that's just a huge red flag. And that's where I'm going with this person. So they're teetering on too much communication. And I'm like, you're not real.
You and I are buying a primary residence right now. And the amount of conversation and communication that's going on in that deal, I think is grossly over the line.
Totally.
You know, because we put it on a previous property under contract, which fell out of contract for inspection reasons. And there was no communication with that. Correct. Everything was fine. So I think, do you think it's the personalities involved?
Yes. Because I know it's not us.
Yeah, we're the constant. You're right. They're mm-hmm. not the variable.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, one of them, well, I'll tell you for sure, I think one of them really was want to be our friend. And I think that's really sweet. Actually, when I say our, I mean my friend.
Yeah.
So I actually am kind of making a friend in this transaction. So that's really cute. But no, it's funny. You're right. We're the constant. They're the variable. So they just, some people just pick up the phone. I don't know if it's age or gender or how they were trained, but some people like to have a lot of communication. I'm even learning that a little bit right now with a new employee that we have that reports directly to me. She's trying to figure out and test the water with me. She's not really understanding, because I'll go dark for 3 days. I'm like, you know what you're supposed to work on. You don't need me, kind of thing. I'll you know, we'll email and we have stuff that we communicate online and that's it.
I'm a huge fan of communicating. I know exactly what you're talking about, communicating through the calendar. Like this is an event, you know, even if it's like a reminder, it's like, here's everything you need to know. And that's about it.
Right. Exactly.
And we've gotten this far. Mm-hmm. I think over communication kills a lot of stuff, including relationships.
is that
it's really?
Are you explaining to the masses why you're sitting in one state and I'm sitting in another?
No, I don't know. Is there something you want to tell me?
No.
We're communicating right now. It seems fine. I don't know. Never really know.
I will say this. It's good to be missed.
Seriously. Oh, are you missed?
I am. Well, no, I miss you.
Oh, okay.
That's I miss you too. That's what I'm saying. I hope you miss me. I'm not quite sure.
I think that's a great place to end this.
Okay.
Of course I miss you.
Happy you could join us today. 5 days a week, you can find us right here on the Land Academy Show.
Tomorrow, the episode on the Land Academy Show is called What is an HOA and Why Does It Matter in Land Investing? You are not alone in your real estate ambition. Homeowners Association or Land Owners Association is what it stands for.
Or POA. I've seen that one too.
Oh, yeah.
Property Owners Association. So there's a lot. We'll explain.
Here's a hint. They're just as evil in land as they are in houses. Isn't it interesting? Certain personalities love them. Most people just can't stand it. We'll talk about it tomorrow, I guess.
If you need access to any sort of ownership or property details, including owner phone numbers and FEMA flood overlays, check out neighborscoop.com. Created by investors, that's us. For investors, that's you. We are Steve and Jill.
Good enough. try it. Let's try it again.
Okay.
This is practice for the software.
Okay. One, two, three. We are Steve and Jill.
You hesitate.
Oh.
Here, let me go. Ready?
Okay.
We are Steve and Jill. Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.